Scripture lesson today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15, 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It is a blessing to be in a church such as this church. I just need you to know that. Aren't we blessed? Was that just one of my favorite songs? I share these words with you from a study that we're going to do in the fall. And I just loved them, and so I want to share them with you. It tells the things that what we believe in. This is on a little specific thing as to what we're doing today. You might notice there's some people sitting in a special pews. We've got three amazing women up front. Give God some glory for the three amazing women up front. Would you? And hear these words. United Methodists believe both faith and good works have a role in Christian life. Faith is the only response essential for salvation. However, our salvation finds expression in good works. Both faith and good works belong within an all-encompassing theology of grace. Word I keep hearing a lot in these small groups. Since they stem from God's gracious love, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Beautiful words. I wanted to share those with you today. Now I'd like to introduce our guest speaker today, who is pretty wonderful. I've just met her, but I've done a... Did you guys ever stalk anybody on Facebook a little bit? I read about doing that, but anyway, Sydney grew up, this is Sydney Everhart, in the beautiful little rose-colored dress, because I think you know the other two ladies, but I'll introduce them as well, Sandra Huft and Jenny Bounds, who are the co-chairs of our outreach team, who do amazing things in this community on behalf of you, with this wonderful crew sitting on the first two rows, and there are others, they're just, I think, shy. Maybe, don't want to sit on the first two rows. But I'm going to introduce Sydney to you. She grew up in St. Joseph, Missouri, and graduated from the University of Missouri in May of 2017 with a bachelor's degree in health science and communication, and again in May 2019 with a master's in public health. She began working with Festival of Sharing in June of 2017. When Sydney isn't working or studying, she enjoys baking, reading, crafting, and camping with her husband Luke and dog Charlie. I'd like to introduce to you the Festival of Sharing coordinator, Sydney Everhart, and you could give God a little glory for her being here today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome. Thank you, Pastor Marcia. And that reminded me, I should update that bio a little bit because now we have a one-year-old daughter who we attempt to take camping with us. So camping with a baby and a lab, if you've ever owned a lab dog, they are a lot of work. So thank you for having me. I live in Centralia, so north of Columbia. And like she said, I grew up in St. Joe, but I've been in the Columbia area for about 11 years. And I have worked at the conference office for like 7 years now, I think, which seems like a really long time. But I serve as the community engagement specialist in the Office of Mission Service and Justice. So part of my role is the coordinator of the ecumenical program, Festival of Sharing, which I'll get to share about today. But then I also work with some of our rural and small membership churches as they are exploring mission and outreach in a variety of different contexts. So it's a really fun space where I get to go out and visit churches like you all and hear about what you're doing in mission and service and walk alongside of you in that journey. So thank you for having me. If you've not heard of Festival before, I hope today I can provide a snapshot of what it is, but it's really, you can't get the full picture until you've attended or participated yourself. So I hope that maybe I inspire you a little bit to participate. If you're familiar with it, hopefully it will provide a little refresher. And I hear that you've got a mission and outreach team that's getting geared up to do some things. So we'll get going. There we go. So like I said, I'll provide kind of a little bit of our history, a little bit on poverty in Missouri in general. We'll talk about the ShareFest, the agencies we serve, and the kits we have, our quilt auction, and our ways to participate, more on the more local ShareFest that you all might be interested in, and we'll have some contact information at the end. And then at the very end of today's service, I'll be around and available if you have questions, if you want to know about anything in more detail. Next. So Festival of Sharing is an ecumenical response to poverty and hunger. This means we're a variety of denominations working together. At times over the years, we've had representation from up to 30 different denominations around the state. So I think that's really awesome. Our goal is to promote and support projects and programs by providing funding and resource goods. So a lot of times this happens as our gatherings called ShareFest. But there are some other things that we do throughout the year that folks may be less familiar about that I'm excited to share with you today. And then we've got a couple, so those are the grant programs, a partnership pilot, and our quilt auction. So all this information that I share today is available on our Festival of Sharing website, festivalofsharing.org. We've got a yearly booklet that we publish. I've got a few copies with me, but it's also available on our media section, as well as tons of other resources. So if you want to really dive deep, you can visit there. So then I'll move on to some of our history. So we began in 1974 as the Bishop's Convocation. It was a call to responding to hunger and poverty. Now, if you're doing the math, that is 50 years, right? I think so. So this later this year, around December, is when we kind of celebrate that 50-year mark. In the early years, it was held at the Trowbridge Livestock Arena in at Mizzou in Columbia, and it was a big day. Folks gathered. There were live animals for like Heifer International, and there was a clothing drive. There was a food drive. All sorts of different things. And a few years later is when it really started to become that ecumenical partnership that we know ourselves as today, the Festival of Sharing. And eventually it moved to the Sedalia Fairgrounds, where it was held for many years. And that was often like a whole weekend sort of event where youth would come on Fridays and they'd participate in a big youth fest and they'd do overnight things and they'd on Saturday, people would gather for worship, and there was packing of beans and rice, and there was the quilt auction, and there was just all sorts of different things going on. And as we understand our call to serve our agencies that we receive our donations around the state, there began some discussion, you can go to the next slide, around how do we continue to serve our agencies in the most efficient and effective ways. And so for some, they were driving 4 or 5 hours across the state to pick up in Sedalia. And we, you know, so appreciated that they were willing to do that. But then some of these places are volunteers themselves. They might have limited budgets or limited resources in terms of vehicle, time, space, people, whatever it might have been. So we started talking about how can we make sure that we're serving them in the best way possible. And so that's how we kind of came to the identity of having ShareFest around the state. We had one already existing down in Dexter, which is the southeast area. And so they were a really great model of what we could be. And so we started incorporating those in 2016. So we had Cameron up in the Northwest and outside of St. Louis and Ferguson. And then in 2018, we moved fully into the ShareFest model. So we had our last one in Sedalia, one big festival in Sedalia in 2017. And then 2018, we started having 7 events across the state. Now, they're not all on the same day, but they're like 5 to 7 weekends in a row that we are having these events around the state. And so they are, I like to call them kind of mini versions of what used to happen in Sedalia. They incorporate a lot of the same aspects of service and worship and fellowship. And they've taken on their own identities in each one. You know, they've developed rhythms. They've developed certain packs and kits that they really like to do as a group. They've done group fundraising, and they've done, some have done youth events over the years, ice cream socials, they've done overnight things, and it's just really cool because we have kind of leadership groups at each one that help in that planning process, and they really help to kind of showcase who that host church is. So several of them are at local churches. They are, I think you can do the next slide, held, I got ahead of myself. They are held in partnership with local churches. They are free and open to the public. You don't even have to be a church-going person to go. We've had folks who were not, you know, associated with our churches or ourselves even before. We've had some that actually serve at an agency who's received gifts from festival, and then they come and volunteer. So it's really cool to get to see kind of how the community works together. Now I think you can move on. Thank you. Since our goal is responding to poverty and hunger, I just wanted to remind us a little bit of a few things that Missourians experience. This is what really motivates our work in coming together. So the U.S. poverty rate is about 12.8%, and Missouri's is at 13%. This was in the 2022 poverty report, which is the most recent one from the Community Action Program in Missouri, and they should have a new one coming out this year. And as I've been in this role in monitoring this report, the poverty rate has gone down just a tiny bit. But anecdotally, we might know that that's a different story. We might see impacts happening to folks that don't really get captured in these numbers because we're, you know, living in communities, we're seeing what folks are going through. And if I had to guess, this particular report probably caught a little bit of the impacts of COVID, but maybe not the full ones that we've continued to feel since that. And so, you know, about 17% of children in the state live in poverty. And, you know, we all might be familiar with the cost of living and income and rent. Takes up a lot of folks' income, 36%, which is a little bit above what's the recommended amount that you should spend on your housing per month. You can go to the next one. The graduate, and I was happy to see this too, as well, the high school graduation rate had went up just a little bit. 1,755 Missouri seniors participated in the Senior Farmer Market Program. That was in 2024. So they gained access to fresh produce. And so I won't go into that too much more, but just to bring to light that there's, you know, all sorts of complexities across the state that impact people's lives and their ability to have the resources that they need to have access to food, housing, transportation, all those different things. And the work that we do to support agencies helps them as they are out in their communities building these folks up and helping make sure that they have the resources and abilities to live successfully in their lives. You can go to the next one. So, like I mentioned, the ShareFest are our interfaith gatherings. So we have our times of service, fellowship, and worship. That's the collection point for the packs and kits in our booklet. And so each one kind of draws our agencies in from a region. Usually within an hour, maybe an hour and a half is what we try to keep it to for agencies coming to pick up. Like I mentioned, they're open to the public and held in partnership with churches and a couple organizations, actually. I wanted to point out that up in St. Joe, where I grew up. We work with InterServe, which is a community resource organization. And then in St. Louis, we work with LifeWise STL, which is also a local organization. They receive items from us and have graciously opened their doors for several years. And it's a really cool opportunity for, as people are dropping off, they get to know that agency a little bit more and get a little glimpse into what they do and what their space is like, and hopefully spark a little bit more engagement with other agencies besides just Festival of Sharing. And so a ShareFest looks like this. If you're volunteering, you'll come around 9 in the morning. We have an orientation meeting, and then churches and groups start dropping donations off around 9:30 to 11:30. And during that time, we're usually spread out over an entire parking lot if the weather holds off. But we do go indoors if it's raining because we don't want to damage any of the goods or make them unusable. And so we as people drive up, we unload their vehicles and we take each type of kit to a pile and we start keeping track of how many we have. And then at 11:30, when the donations are supposed to stop coming in, we do a final count, and the leaders of the distribution area is what we call that, will go and run the numbers, and what we collected that day goes out that day, besides a couple kits that come back to do more of a statewide distribution, which I can talk about that more in a minute. And so we run the numbers, and while that's happening, we usually do kind of lunch and fellowship. And then at 1 o'clock, the agencies start to arrive to receive their donations. So then we load their vehicles with whatever they've requested. And so you can go to the next one. Some of the items, these are almost all of the kits that we do. I think, I did get the new church world somewhere. So in the far, if you're looking at it, your left column, goes to Missouri agencies. There's in the middle column, those are kind of our more international kits that we partner with Church World Service to collect. And then on the right, those also go to Missouri agencies. And so you can see those kit lists if you want more detailed information in the booklet or, like I said, on our website. You can go to the next one. So the agencies that we serve, they are a wide variety. We've got some that are food pantries and clothes closets, foster and adoption programs, pregnancy resource centers, school clothes closets. I don't remember what I've said so far. But they go through an application process with us. It's just kind of a short little two-page thing where we collect some information on who they serve and how often they serve. We want to make sure that agencies aren't turning any folks away because of their, identity or, if they have a religious affiliation. We really want to partner with agencies who are open and serving all, and that they provide some governing board information and financial information to us, and we just kind of review those and make sure there's not any red flags. We have over 150 in our database that are approved to work with us. On average, we work with around 80 a year in the past few years, and that's across the seven ShareFests. Those agencies, in turn, work with about 48,000 clients a month. And they don't have to pick up every year to stay in our database. Sometimes they actually get enough donations from their local supporters that they don't necessarily need us. So they'll say, we're good this year, but keep us on the list for next year, and we're always happy to do that. That's what I was going to say about that. Quilt auction. So we also have our annual quilt auction that is held in November. This year it's November 3rd through the 9th. It is online only. And so this allows us an opportunity to reach a wider audience. And it's been really cool to see the different states that our quilts have ended up in after the past few online ones that we did. Last year we had 57 quilted items, and those are like crib, and baby blankets, throws, and then twin, full, king and queen, and The money that we raise for that goes to the Church World Service Blanket Program. And they respond to after natural disasters. And so for every $10 that we raise, they can purchase a blanket for someone who has experienced a fire, a tornado, flooding. And so they've been in communities across the U.S. responding to disasters, and we're really glad to be a part of that. Last year, we were able to send them just over $8,600, so a lot of blankets. And they do two different kinds of blankets. They've kind of a lighter summer one, and then they've got like a heavier wool one. So depending on the geography and the weather, they can respond appropriately with that. You can next. And then I was going to highlight our grant program, because I don't know that many people know about this. We received a legacy gift a few years ago that was undesignated, and this was a wonderful surprise to us, and we really wanted to do something above and beyond what we normally do. Years ago, we had done some small hunger grants for agencies, but with this money, we were able to do a three-part program. And so we've got the Growing Access Grant, which is available to our approved agencies, so the same folks that pick up at the ShareFest. And then in a second, I'll talk about our cooperative response one. And then the third component of the program, we have been packing packs and kits at our ShareFest. So it gave our volunteers an opportunity to do more service project while at our events. So this Growing Access Agency, this year, this spring, we were able to share $17,200 across 21 agencies. And that was really exciting to us, because we, as we're reading through the applications, we catch another glimpse into the work that they do beyond what we know, you know, of them from their application and from participating with us. So these are Pork for the Pantry programs, where they get pork for $1 a pound and get to serve entire families through that. A cereal program that hands out cereal to students during the summer when school's not in session. We've had a teen empowerment class that talked about like healthy eating and how to budget for that, and how to go to the store and purchase your groceries and then go make your meals and go through all of that. So it's been an absolute joy to see those applications and see the way, the different ways that these agencies are responding in their local context. And then on the next one is our cooperative response. And so this was utilized to highlight ecumenical partnerships, because we know that churches are working together with each other in their communities, but we don't always get a chance to celebrate that. And so part of this money was set aside to do that. And churches representing two different denominations could apply together to receive some funding. In 2023, we had at least 10 different faith backgrounds represented, and then a numerous number of local agencies. And then in 2024, we gave out about $11,200 to 12 different grant recipients. And those projects range from buddy pack kind of type programs. There was a STEM summer mobile camp that a church in St. Louis was having. Just some really cool things that highlight how churches are working together to bring different, educational resources, food resources, different things like that to their communities. So another joyous program that we've gotten to be a part of. And then I'll also briefly talk about our pilot partnership. And it is very much a pilot. So we started this year, and it was a chance for us to connect local churches with agencies a little bit deeper. If a church is interested, they can express their interest, and we will match them with one of our agencies who we've worked with over the years. And we encourage them to just make three points of connection before the ShareFest, so kind of spring until about September, October. And those really can be anything from maybe there's a special item they need some help collecting, maybe there's a special project at their site which they could use some help with. Sometimes there's extra painting or landscaping or cleaning that they don't always have the staff to do. Or maybe you want to appreciate their staff with a lunch. I think sometimes little gestures like that go a little bit overlooked in the power of reaching out to these folks and saying, we see you, we see what you're doing, we love that, we want to give you a lunch, because like we know you're busy, like make sure you're eating, staying healthy, taking care of yourself, all that fun thing. So hopefully we'll get to do a little bit more with that, but that's kind of newer this year. And then on the next slide, I think we'll talk more about the local Share Fest that hopefully you all will be participating or engaging with in some way. You're kind of in an interesting location where you'll probably most likely relate to the one outside of Springfield and Republic at Hood UMC. At that location in particular, we have 11 agencies who pick up kind of from the surrounding region. Those agencies serve 10,300 people a month. And at this Share Fest, we will be packing rice into 2-pound bags. We'll be assembling probably some family food boxes, maybe also some baby bundles. They work with the grocery store to kind of get some of that food for the food boxes, so that's nice to see them working together in the community in that way. And then lunch and fellowship and time to kind of worship together will be there. For you all, there's actually a few agencies here in Lebanon, COPE and P360 Youth and Salvation Army. Those are approved agencies with Festival of Sharing, so we have a relationship with them. So maybe you all are involved with them in other ways as well. But so you all know that they do receive some of the donations that come in at that site, and it's a joy to be able to serve them. And at this location, we also collect all of the other kits listed, like I've mentioned before, the eyeglasses for the Merida Foundation, and then the Church World Service kits, which also go like in their work as they are responding to disasters, but also they respond to poverty and hunger as well. So their kits, we collect them all throughout the ShareFest season, and then we have a truck that comes from Ferncliff, Arkansas, to pick those up, and they are distributed through a partnership between Church World Service, Presbyterian Disaster Relief, Lutheran Disaster Relief, and UMCOR. So it's really cool to see that all these faith-based disaster response programs are working together to distribute kits in needed areas. And sometimes those kits have come back to Missouri. I know some have been to the Marshfield area for more of a poverty response type thing, but still, it was really nice to see that it's not so far away that, you know, our own areas can be impacted and supported by these organizations as well. So you might be wondering how you can participate, and there are a variety of different ways. I always say praying for the folks who pack kits, who work together to collect the items, for the ShareFest events, that folks stay safe during out that program, and then as agencies are traveling home with their items, that they stay safe. You can assemble kits, so you can pick one kit to focus on, you can pick all of them to do, you know, churches, it's really fun to hear how the different ways that they set up their collections. Sometimes it's each month of the year, they focus on a particular kit. I've seen people do sticky note programs where they put the kit contents on a bulletin board and you're picking off what you're going to bring. And then, you know, there's a date that you bring them all together. There's tons of ways to do that. So if you're looking for some ideas, we could do some brainstorming together on that. You can come and volunteer at a ShareFest. Our signups will be open pretty soon, or they might already be. I don't know. Tomorrow, July 1st. So you can sign up to volunteer. And we, on our sign-up sheets, we identify if, or you have the chance to identify if you would like to do light duty, medium duty, heavy duty things, because we want our events to be able to accommodate for a variety of gifts and abilities and skills. I'm getting my words all together today. And so if you mark on there what you're comfortable doing, we'll try to get you plugged into a spot that you feel your gifts will be well used in. And then lastly, if you're looking for some leadership opportunities, we're always looking for folks to join our coordinating committee. And even if you know someone in another denomination, that we've got spots for different people around the state in different denominations. And we meet twice a year in Columbia. We come together for lunch and we kind of, you know, do things like looking at the budget. We kind of set vision for the year. And we review the agency applications, and then we have the grant programs that people can step up to serve through. And so here is my contact information. It's on the booklet, it's on the website. I am the one who is in the office answering phones and emails, so if you ever have questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. We greatly appreciate your support in any way that it is, if it's prayers, if it's your time, if it's your talents, if it's your gifts in the form of kits or money. We appreciate all of that because all of it works together, and we get to serve a variety of really awesome agencies who are working really hard across the state to make sure that Missourians have resources. So thank you very much.
Now we're going to hear some comments from our local team.
I would like to introduce you to our outreach team, and we have a few of them here today. This being a holiday weekend, I think some people are enjoying that. So we'll have Carla Lowe Phelps.
Everybody stand up, please.
Susan and Steve Wood. Susan Brackett, I'm sorry. Tori Seibert and Rose Childers. And Terry Peters is here, I think, today. And our own Jenny Bounds. Also on our committee is Sam Currier, Annette Darnell, Bobby Duff, Debbie Royer, and Cheryl Wrinkle. And we're just so happy to have them. They're hardworking and they love what they do.
Well, I'm Jenny Bounds, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our outreach team. It kind of got lost during COVID, and we just have resurrected it this year. We had our first meeting in March and decided that our first mission was to keep the congregation educated in the ways that we could be out there in the community serving God. As Marcia told us this morning in her scriptures, we love seeing everybody in church every Sunday. You are our church family, and we love and depend on you. But also in the New Testament, over and over again, we were told if you are to be followers of Jesus, you must be out in the world sharing his love with others. So our first mission is to be educating you all so that we can work together to be doing whatever path God leads us down. And so we thank Sydney for coming today and talking to us about Festival of Sharing, because this is something we have done in the past and have not done for several years. So if there is something that you mentioned today, one of the projects that really tugged at your heart, you need to talk to somebody on the outreach team, because they can't read your minds. And it is our job to be out there working in coordination with you to be doing whatever it is the church thinks we should be doing. I want to also emphasize, this is something, again, that I'm just reiterating what Marcia says every single week. Read your bulletin, please. Activities are listed in the e-notes. They're listed on the screen before services. There are many, many ways to get this information. We have several activities coming up in July that Ella mentioned this morning. One is on Friday, July 12th, from 3:30 to 6:30. Spirit FM Radio will be broadcasting live from our 3rd Street parking lot. And this is what they call pop-up events. We are the only location in Lebanon that they will be doing this. They will be passing out popsicles and I think maybe free gas cards too. I'm not sure about that. But anyhow, we are hosting this. So our job are to be good hosts. We are providing lemonade and bags of potato chips. We're setting up a children's corner that's going to have a barrier around it so it's safe for them. And doing some children's games. So if you want to come at 5 o'clock or at 3 o'clock and help set up, that would be great. Otherwise, we just want you to show up and be good hosts. If you have a United Methodist t-shirt, wear it so they know that you're from this church. We just want to present an image of our church to the community that we are a fun, loving church and with sharing God's love for all.
And weird.
And weird, yeah, weird. But we like to have fun and we love them all. So that's the first event. The second event is on Saturday, July 20th. Do you know that our church has a contract with the city to do a clean up the street section? We're assigned to a part of Harwood Street. We clean up the area from Greenbrier out to Lynn Street, Highway 5, which is, you know, the end up towards Easter School. We meet at 9 o'clock in the morning. We do this quarterly. Meet at 9 o'clock in the morning. Always have donuts. Methodists always have to have something to eat. And then we clean up the sidewalk and the easement areas and the park that's under the water tower. We don't go on any personal property. We just clean up public areas. But it's a great time to visit with your friends and help keep your community clean at the same time. Lastly, again, just reiterating Marcia's, please pray for the people that are on the prayer list, that are on the bulletin every Sunday. Do you know in this community we are known as a praying church? That makes me so very proud. And we have complete strangers who call and ask us to pray for them. We have some people who don't even want to share their last name. But they're hurting, and they need prayer. And they rely on us to give them that support. I have a personal friend who's been on our list for a year and a half. And she's been battling cancer and trying to keep a business going since she's a sole supporter. And she notified us Friday that she's been to the doctor and is cancer-free. And she wanted me to thank every one of you for keeping her in prayers because she said she felt that strength coming from you. And I wanted to end with a little joy. Also, did you know that our church has a prayer in the chapel session the second Monday of every month at 6 o'clock? We take communion. We pray for the people on our prayer list and people in our church and community that we know are struggling. If there's anyone who is feeling a need for being anointed by oil or laying on of hands, we provide that service, which is very uplifting. And we have come up with this. You know, we are out searching for ways to do what we think God is asking us to do. And sometimes God just plops in our lap without our even thinking about it. And we have found that as we're leaving the back door of the chapel, the people are coming in for the NA meeting in the prayer wing on the other side. And we have had the most beautiful encounters with these people. And they have asked us to stand in the prayer garden and say prayer with them. And it's just been incredible, hasn't it, Marcia? So anyhow, there are a lot of ways that you can help the outreach team. Then the outreach team can help you. But again, please share with someone on the outreach team if you are there. Any agencies in town you think need our support, any events you would like to see happening, this takes all of us, each and every one of us. So thank you for your support this morning.
Every Sunday when I get here, I pray, come Holy Spirit, come. And I think the Holy Spirit came today. Did anybody else feel it? I thank Sydney, I thank Sandra, and I thank Jenny, I thank Dan, just Luke, everybody, Heidi, that's so, all the AV team, all the sweet folks up there that are just so kind. Come Holy Spirit, come.